God, our Father, we do thank you that not only are you the creator God, but you are also the God who is the author of salvation. And we thank you that in your word we find your great purposes for people, purposes of salvation. And so we do pray that as we turn to the Bible now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will open our hearts and our minds so that your word will take root in us and really will become our story. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, when I was working in research, one of the managers was a man called Jeffrey. Jeffrey had a company car, and he was frequently out and about in it. One day, he was approaching a junction near Woodbridge in Suffolk, one strikingly like this. As he came towards the junction, one of those sort of awkwardly angled ones, he looked left, saw that nothing was coming along the road, and put his foot down. Unfortunately, the driver of the car in front of him was a bit more cautious and had stopped at the junction. George went straight into the back of him. Jeffrey's car was repaired, and less than a month later, he again approached exactly the same junction. He looked left. He saw that nothing was coming, and same accident in the same place, twice within a month. How could he have been so stupid? He obviously hadn't learned anything from his first accident. But actually, I think that whilst most of us might not go quite to those lengths, most of us can be pretty slow to learn from experience. And certainly throughout the Old Testament, that was true of God's people. Time and time again, they failed to learn from experience. Right from the start, people discovered that rejecting God's rule and trying to be their own masters did not work. Adam and Eve did not want God to be at the center of their lives. They wanted to be at the center themselves. And as we saw a couple of weeks ago, the result of that refusal to allow God to be God, that demand that they should be at the center, resulted in alienation from God, from one another, from the world, and even within themselves. But instead of learning from that, the same mistake was repeated time after time. God could definitely so easily have given up on his creation. But as we heard earlier, he didn't. Having chosen Abraham, throughout all that happened from then onwards, God was still working out his purpose to bless the world. We heard that the Israelites ended up stuck in Egypt. But before he rescued them from Egypt, God said this: I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So God's purposes for his people were still good purposes. He still wanted to bless his people. So God rescued them from Egypt by carving a way through the sea. And pretty well the first thing they did when they got to the other side was to make a golden calf to worship. Yet again, rather than allowing God his rightful place at the center, they put something that they had made there. These people did not want God to be God. And the result was disaster. Soon after that, they came to the boundary of the land that God had promised them. This good and spacious land he'd promised. And as they were getting ready to go into the land, they sent spies to check things out. But when the spies came back, 10 of the 12 said, "We can't attack those people. They're stronger than us." Now, just bear in mind, these were people who just a few weeks earlier had seen God do the most amazing things. They had actually seen God open a path through a sea. But now they didn't believe he could do that sort of thing again. They knew that God had brought them out of Egypt, but they didn't believe that he could take them into the promised land. And so for 40 years, they just wandered around the desert. But yet again, God had not given up on them. And he'd not given up on his plan to bless the world. And that brings us to the next stage in our story. And to Joshua chapter 1. Emma's going to come and read for us.
Today's reading can be found on page 216 of the Pew Bibles. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord.
It was a great new start. This is a new era, really. Moses, who led the Israelites for 40 years, had died, and his assistant Joshua had taken his place. The Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, my servant Moses is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give them. Just remember, God had brought these people out of slavery in Egypt so that they could be his people, his treasured possession. And that didn't mean that kind of God had given up on the rest of the world, abandoned the rest of humanity to their fate. The reason that God chose these people was so that they could be a blessing to the world. Having brought the people out of slavery, he told them, although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So Israel were meant to showcase to the rest of the world what life under God's reign looks like. Through them, the nations would catch a glimpse of God's good purposes for the whole world. It's kind of what we were thinking about earlier on with, you know, what are you supposed to do in different places? What were they supposed to do in this land? They were supposed to show the world what it looked like to live under God's purposes, under his reign. And now God was giving them this home, a place where they could live out that great purpose. And the key to being able to do it was in what God told Joshua. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. As long as these people were rooted in and guided by God's word, God would be with them to bless them. And you see, right back from the very start, right back from Genesis 1, we've seen that the key to life is actually living under God's gracious rule, loving, worshipping, and obeying him. Adam and Eve had blown it, and they'd suffered the consequences. The people at Babel had blown it. But now there was another chance to do just that. Their first test came at Jericho. Jericho was a fortified city. But actually all the Israelites had to do was to obey what God said. Now I'll admit that God's instructions were militarily pretty unconventional. All they had to do was march around the city blowing trumpets. But when they did what God had said, The walls of Jericho fell, and it was easily captured. Having seen that, when they came to the next city, Ai, one of the Israelites decided to ignore what God had said and did what he wanted to. God said that everything there was to be devoted to him. One person, a guy called Achan, thought, actually, nice little gold bar there. Perhaps I'll just keep that for myself. And the result was disaster. They were defeated. Only once that sin had been dealt with could they attack Ai and this time do it successfully. And by then, they just had these two worked examples they'd seen quite clearly. Obey the Lord, and he would give them victory and bless them. Disobey, and they'd face disaster and defeat. And that was sort of so clear. They'd actually seen it in practice. And the rest of the book of Joshua covers the gradual conquest of their promised land until finally, after about 25 years, the land was shared out between the 12 tribes of Israel, each tribe descended from one of the sons of Jacob. And by the end of Joshua, as that great leader approaches his death, everything seems to have come to a great conclusion. Joshua called the people together and warned them to stay true to the Lord. And all the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." God's people obeying him in the land he had given them. The stage was set for Israel to live as a light for the nations so that the world can see how good it is to live under God's rule and themselves come to him. It looks as though the promise made to Abraham has been fulfilled. But sadly, it wasn't quite as straightforward as that. The book of Judges continues the story. At first, that conquest, the sort of mopping up operation is continued. But actually, they didn't always drive out the pagan Canaanites. And that meant that they left themselves open to being turned away from the Lord. And that's just what happened. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he'd done for Israel. Now, of course, they didn't have the kind of means that we have for recording the past, books, films, things like that. But the stories of what God had done in the past, and this is only the recent past, those stories would have been told by parents to their children. This was the sort of culture where that's the way that things were passed on. But in just one generation, they'd forgotten what God had done. They no longer knew the Lord. And actually, there's only one real possible explanation for how come they could forget the Lord so quickly. They didn't actually want to know him. They did not want the Lord to be Lord. They didn't want a God whose rightful place was at the center of their lives, ruling over them. And so they no longer knew the Lord. And once you've refused to let God have his rightful place, you just have to forget the things that he's done, or else those memories become a constant reproach to you. And so instead of worshipping the Lord, they followed and worshipped various gods of the people around them. They chose gods which didn't actually make big demands on them. Gods which seemed to be there to do just what they wanted. They chose gods that were convenient. But as we've seen so often, when you turn away from the Lord, instead of him being with his people for blessing, God is with his people for judgment. These people were meant to display God's goodness to the world. But instead, well, As the nations around now looked at Israel, they would assume that the Lord was no different to those other rather pathetic pagan gods. That was no good. So whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. They were in great distress. I have to say, I think that the book of Judges is is in one sense just about the most depressing book in the Bible. Israel was in a fairly strategic position. There were plenty of other nations keen to get a bit of the land. Time and time again, the Israelites, having enjoyed God's blessing, became complacent. They drifted away from the Lord and allowed themselves to drift into worshipping other gods. And as that happened, God let them be conquered by other invaders from the region around. Finally, they'd cry out to God in repentance, and he'd raise up a new leader or judge who would free the people. Judges like Ehud, Gideon, Jephthah, Samson. And once the people had been freed, they would return to worshipping the Lord for a little while. But then it all began again. And Judges ends with the chilling comment, "In those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit." Once again, they refused to let God be God. They would not have him at the center of their life. They did what they wanted rather than what God said. And when everyone does as they see fit, what you have is anarchy. People who just don't learn from what's happened in the past. But actually, I was thinking about this, and it seems at first sight that it's actually God who hasn't learned. Surely, God must have realized that these people he had created were a hopeless case. Time after time, he gave them another chance, and time after time, they messed it up. But of course, it isn't that God didn't learn from what had happened. This is just showing us God's amazing grace and his patience. In God's story, we see that he never gives up. And that really is good news. You see, if you ever think, "I've made a mess of things, I don't see how God could forgive me," just read the book of Judges. God doesn't ignore it when his people do wrong, and our sin does have consequences. But God never, never gives up on his people. If you are a Christian, God will never, never give up on you. But this isn't just God's story, it is also our story. We might live in a very different world to theirs, but there's one thing which I think is just the same. Like them, our natural state is that we don't actually want God to rule over us. Why is it that we have so much to enjoy in life, but often spoil those things? Why is it that the wonderful relationships that we have are so often spoiled? Why is it that the beautiful world that God's given us is so often messed up? It's because God has given us all that for us to enjoy under his rule. But when we walk away from his rule, we actually walk away from being able to enjoy all that he's given us. Back then, these people who God had chosen, they were happy to acknowledge that God was there. They were ready to cry to him for help when they were in a fix. But they didn't want to live under his rule. We saw a few weeks ago that desire for independence, to put me first, is kind of hardwired into us. It's part of our DNA. The problem is, we're just not capable of it. And this morning, even here in church, there will be people like that. You might believe in God, but you don't want God to rule your life. And so your life just isn't all that it could be. You see, we cannot live without a king. Left to ourselves, we cannot live the lives that God has planned for us in all their richness. We mess up. We hurt ourselves. We hurt others. But despite the constant failings of his people, God still didn't give up. And eventually the king that they needed came. A king who lived our life and who died our death. A king who by his spirit can live in us and actually enable us to live as the people of God. So this morning, will you recognize that God is king and give all that you are to him? And find in doing that, that it really is the key to life? Or will you just repeat the same old mistakes that have been made for millennia? Try to live as if there is no king. Which story is going to be your story? Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your amazing grace and patience. I thank you that that you are willing to forgive, even though we are so like those people from long ago and so often fail you. And as we praise you for your forgiveness, for your patience with us and for your grace, we recognize that deep down we are no different to those people long ago. Something in us will always rebel against allowing you to rule our lives. But we thank you that through his death and resurrection, Jesus has actually made a change to that possible, that he came to be the king that all of us need if we're to live. And so we do pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will enable each of us to acknowledge Jesus as King, to live our lives under his good and gracious rule. And as we do that, not only will we know your blessing, but also we will be a blessing to the world around us. We do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.